hearing and heeding God's word. Our text for tonight and for this, I suppose it'll be a sort of a short series, is the verse 22. James says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So there's the hearing, and there is the heeding, or the doing of God's word. But dealing primarily this evening with the hearing of the word of God. We know that David, in the 119th Psalm, had much to say about the word of God. There he makes known what God's word meant to him. Indeed, when writing about the word, he couldn't do it in any less than 176 sentences, the number of verses in Psalm 119. And I have no doubt that's only a fraction of what the psalmist could have written and gone on to write about what the word of God meant to him. Because in one of those sentences, one of those verses, David wrote this: "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." There was David declaring, "Thy word is very pure, therefore, because it's pure, I love the word." There's much in this world to read that's not pure. But we rejoice that when we turn to the word of God, we find that which is very pure. Tried 7 times. "Therefore thy servant loveth it." Verse 140 of Psalm 119. So when writing about something or someone that we love, there is no end to what we want to say, is there? Take, for example, John's writings. And what John wrote about the Lord Jesus, whom he loved. John wrote at the close of his gospel, John 21, verse 25, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." So if you want to sit down, if possible, and write about Christ and all that he had done, you would go on writing, go on writing, go on writing, and all the books you would write, the world would not contain them. And what John had to say about the incarnate word, namely Christ, could be said about the written word, the word of God. So David wrote about what the word meant to him. We might put ourselves to the test. If we were asked, "I want you to write what the word of God means to you," could we stretch it out to 176 sentences? How long would it take us to write about the word and what it means to us? And that's really what James is dealing with here in this, his epistle. Namely, the word of God. The word of God in the life of the Christian. But he's not speaking so much about the reading of the word or even writing about the word. He's dealing with hearing the word. Hearing the word. You will notice in those verses we read, there in James 1, four times James speaks about hearing the word. Verse 19, let every man be swift to hear. Verse 20, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Verse 23, and if any man be a hearer of the word, go down to verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. Four times. So you can see where James has placed the emphasis upon hearing the word of the Lord. So he's speaking about giving attention to hearing, to listening to the word. That means he's speaking about listening and giving ear to the preaching of the word. That's what we're doing when we hear. We hear the word, that is, we're listening to the word that's preached to us. We are to read the word most definitely. We are to study the word most definitely. And when the occasion arises, we are to write about the word most definitely. But here, James is dealing with hearing the word. That means, and he's referring to then, to the word as it is preached. And as the word is preached, we're to hear it. We're to give ear to it. We're to listen to the preaching of God's word. And since James gives a whole section, as we've read tonight, in this first chapter of his epistle, he gives a whole section to the hearing or the listening to the preaching of the word, it shows us then the importance in the life of the Christian to give attention to the preaching of the word of God, to listen to the preaching of the word. It's important. So let us see what the apostle has to say about this important matter, the matter of hearing and heeding the word of God. I want this evening to deal with, first of all, we have to have an interest in hearing the word of God. That's where we begin. Having an interest in the hearing of the word of God. The Apostle Paul told the Hebrew believers in Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We pointed out before regarding that verse, that word manner. The word manner means habit. And Paul here says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, so he includes himself, as the habit of some is. And when we do assemble, it is for the purpose of worshiping the Lord. That's right. We come together on the Sabbath day to worship the Lord. We gather in God's house. We assemble ourselves together in the house of God to worship the God of our salvation. We sing our psalms. We sing our hymns. We pray. But that which is central in our worship services is the preaching of God's word. That is central. In our Sabbath day services, it is the preaching of the word of God. So when we assemble ourselves together, it must be primarily to listen to the preaching of the word. Now, we love to go to the Lord's house to meet with one another, and that is good. Paul said, we gather ourselves together. We come together. And it's good when you've been out in the world during the week to come to the Lord's house and gather together and meet with God's people. It's a blessing. We look forward to going to the Lord's house for that purpose, and also to unite our voices in praise and sing the great hymns of Zion, as we've done tonight, and sing the Psalms. That is good. But the primary purpose of going to the Lord's house on the Lord's day is to listen to the Word of God being preached. That's why we have a pulpit in the middle of the church. It's not pushed over to the side. The pulpit has not been replaced with a stage for a band to be up here and play their instruments and all the rest of it. The pulpit is central. And on the pulpit is the Bible. And that's the way it should be. And by God's grace, here in this place, that's the way it will be. The Word of God will always be central in our worship services and in our evening services. When we gather to preach the gospel, we'll be preaching from the Word. So we assemble ourselves together to hear, to listen to the preaching of God's Word. There needs to be an interest in hearing God's word for it to have any real benefit to us. An interest. There must be an interest, and yes, that interest is personal. We must have a personal interest in hearing the word of God. Look carefully at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren. So there James speaks about brethren more than one. My beloved brethren. He's speaking to more than one. But then he goes on to say, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man. Now it's personal. Now he's coming down to the individual. And he says, let every man be swift to hear, personally. So here is something that, as believers, we must personally attend to. That is, the hearing of the Word of God. And we will do so if we have an interest in hearing the Word of God. We'll attend to it. If we want to hear the Word of God, if we want to sit down and listen to what God has to say as it is preached unto us. Of course, there was a time. There was a time in our lives when we had not the slightest interest in listening to anybody preaching the word. Remember the tent mission coming to the area where Doy and I lived, and we were going together at the time. And do I want to go to this mission organized by a group of people called the Pilgrims? And do I want to go to this? And I said, no, I'm not going there. What would I go there for? I had no interest in going and listening to the word preached. I wasn't saved, obviously, at that time. But I didn't want to listen to anybody preaching the word. I was unconverted then. I was unregenerate then. But then, when the Lord does a work and saves the soul, things change. We're not interested in hearing the word in our unconverted days. As Paul says, Romans 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Not interested. Not interested in hearing the word or keeping the word until we've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. And from being carnally minded, then we become spiritually minded. And we seek after then spiritual things. Verse 18 tells us, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. He begat us. We were born again through the word of God. And when we got saved, what was the first thing you wanted to do? You wanted to hear the word. You wanted to hear the word of God. You got a Bible, somebody gave you a Bible, you start to read it, and in those early days you devoured the word. You could hardly set it down. And you wanted to hear the word. You go any distance, overcome any difficulty, forgo any delight in order to listen to the preacher preach the word. That was your personal desire. Because you've been changed, you've been made a new creature. It was as if nobody told you. You wanted it. That's what you wanted. You wanted to hear the preaching of the word. And you would go anywhere to hear the word. Look at Matthew chapter 3 for an example. And there in Matthew chapter 3 we read in verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist. What was he doing? Preaching. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. So it wasn't in a fancy building. It was in the wilderness. Saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And came John, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Look at verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Why did they go out to him? Well, we just read. He was preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and the people of Jerusalem and Judea went out to him. What to do? To hear the preaching. Now, those locations would refer to a distance of 30 or 40 miles. And the people walked 30, 40 miles to listen to the preaching of John the Baptist. And he preached the word, repent and be converted. So he's preaching the word out there in the wilderness. Because those people from those locations had a personal desire. They wanted to hear the word. I remember again when Dory and I were saved. I remember every week, we would say, where can we go to tonight? Is there a mission on tonight? Are there any meetings on tonight? We'll go to our own church meetings during the week. And then could we go somewhere else? And you looked and you phoned around to see if there were any meetings on anywhere else in our churches. And some nights we'd go over to Lurgan and hear Pastor Willie Mullen. You just wanted to hear the word. That was our personal desire. To hear the word of God as it was preached. So after attending to the preaching of the word, personally, there is also the precept. That is, we are to attend to the hearing of the word. It's a precept of God. James makes it clear that the believer must attend to the preaching of the word. For he says, let every man be swift to hear. That's what he's telling us. It's not an option. He says, let every man be swift to hear. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, there the Lord was transfigured before those three disciples, Peter, James, and John. You remember how Peter wanted to build three tabernacles there on the Mount. And as he was talking, a cloud descended. Put a stop to Peter's talking, the things he was saying. And then a voice was heard from heaven. It was the voice of God. What did he say? He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear. In other words, the Lord God of heaven was saying to those disciples and to all of us, give ear to what the Lord says. Hear ye him. Peter was the one that was doing the talking and talking to the other disciples and talking to the Lord. And then he was silenced. And God said, hear ye him, my son. So there's a command. When we go up to the house of God, it is to hear him. It is to hear what the Lord has to say to us. And what the Lord has to say about us. Just as the prophet said in Amos 7 verse 16, now therefore hear thou the Lord, the word of the Lord. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. That's a command. That's a precept. So then when we neglect the hearing of the word of the Lord, it is a sin. Because we're not keeping God's law, God's word, God's commandment. And apart from it being the command of the Lord, surely it ought to be our desire. Our desire to sit under the preaching of the word of God. Don't you love doing that? Remember again in our early days as believers. Remember going to meetings. And it wasn't one preacher, it was two preachers. And those two preachers didn't proclaim any little sermonette. One preacher was the Reverend John Douglas. The other preacher was the Dr. Alan Kearns. And you went, you sat down, and the preachers were introduced, and the one preached, and then you sang maybe a few hymns or a psalm, and then the next preacher came and preached after that. It was great. It really was. Just going and spending the night in the house of God, listening to the preaching of the word. And those two men, two of the best preachers you could ever listen to. So the Lord makes it clear that we are to give ear to the preaching of the word. And he makes it also clear it is for our good. It's for our good. Deuteronomy 6 verse 3. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. There's the hearing and there's the doing. There's the hearing and the heeding. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. It'll do you good. We have here the hearing and the heeding of God's word. So the Lord wants us to do us good. He wants to do us good. How does he do that? Many ways, of course, and certainly he does us good through the preaching of the word. So if we do not have an ear for the preaching of the word, we're going to miss out on the blessing of God. If we don't have an ear for the preaching of God's word, we're missing out with God. That's why the Lord said regarding his preaching, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And to emphasize the importance of hearing of his word, the Lord repeated that precept over in Matthew, chapter 13. And there we read in verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Same chapter, verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So that's the Lord telling us. The Lord put these two organs in each side of our head for many things, but certainly to hear the word of God. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. As well as the personal hearing and the precept about hearing, there is also the practice of hearing. That is, how are we to hear? How are we to give ear to the preaching of the word? That would first of all refer to our attitude. Look again at what James says there in verse 19. He speaks about our attitude to the hearing of the word. For he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. There's the attitude. Be swift to hear. The word swift, as you may have guessed, is a word that means ready. Let every man be ready to hear, and to hear the word. So speaking to the brethren, James says, let every man be ready to hear the word. Therefore, when we go to the Lord's house to worship, James says, you go to the Lord's house and be ready to hear. Be swift to hear. Isn't that a lovely thought? You go to the Lord's house, we climb up those stairs and we come in to this part of the building, we take our seats and we're ready. Ready to listen to the preaching of the word, whoever the preacher is. Have you ever gone out some night with some friends to a restaurant? And you can't wait for the waiter to come and bring your order. And the waiter comes, or the waitress, and sets down the meal in front of you. And a friend would say to you, well, are you ready for this meal? And you would say, boy, am I ready, I'm starving. I'm ready, all right. And then you get tucked into the meal. Is that how we come to the Lord's house? When we take our seat, not round a table in a restaurant, but in God's house, and we sit down, and somebody may say to you, "Are you ready to hear the word?" Would you say, "Yes, I'm ready. I can't wait. I'm starving. I've been in the world for a week. I've rubbed shoulders with the world. I've seen the ways of the ungodly. And am I ready to get a word from the Lord?" I'm ready, all right. Well, James says that's how we are. To come to the hearing of the word. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." Ready to hear. Let us come to God's house with that same readiness to hear what God has to say to me, what God has to reveal about me, to me. Such a readiness to hear the word preached was evident amongst those who gathered in the house of Cornelius. You look there at Acts chapter 10. Cornelius had prayed that the Lord would send somebody to his house to preach the word to him and his friends. Cornelius. And there in Acts 10, in verse 33, "Immediately therefore I sent to thee," this is Cornelius speaking to Peter, the Lord sent Peter, "Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come." Listen. "Now therefore are we all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." There was a readiness. Cornelius prayed that a preacher would come to his house to preach the word. And when Peter came, he was able to say, "Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear." We're all gathered here to hear things that are commanded thee of God. What was he saying? We're here to hear the word of God. Give us the word of God. Give to us the word of God. But there's some we should not forget here. When Cornelius spoke those words, he wasn't a saved man. He was unregenerate. And yet here we have an unregenerate man. And he prayed that Peter, that someone, the Lord would send someone to preach the word. And he says, we're all here to hear what God has given you to give to us. That's something, wasn't it? May we all be like Cornelius then in that sense. They were swift to hear, ready to hear. May that same swiftness and readiness be ours also. As well as the attitude, we notice also the acceptance. Where there is the faithful preaching of God's word, if the man in the pulpit, whoever it is faithful to the blood and to the book, that he's not declaring some vain philosophy of men or using the enticing words of man's wisdom, but he's preaching the book of God. Then we are to accept what is being preached. There is to be the acceptance. Isn't that what James tells us here? Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, listen, and receive. Receive. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive. There you have the acceptance of God's word. The word from James about receiving the word means that we're to make room for the word of God in our hearts. That's what it means. We're to receive it with meekness. We're to make room for it in our hearts. An example of this, seen in Acts 17. For there in Acts 17, in verse 11, these were also more noble, that is the folk of Berea, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that, listen, they received the word with all readiness of mind. Notice what that led them to do. And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They received the word with all readiness of mind. They were swift to hear. Notice again the readiness of the hearer. They received the word with all readiness of mind. Yeah, as we said, they were swift to hear, ready to hear, ready to hear. Receive whatever was preached unto them. And Paul commended the believers for how they had heard and received the word. Over in his letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6, he says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, but joy in the Holy Ghost. Notice, they received the word not with a frown upon their faces. They received the word, Paul says, with much joy of the Holy Ghost. They were glad to receive the word. They were glad to be in a place where they could listen to the preaching of the word. And as it was preached, they received it, and they did so with joy. You could almost hear them say, praise the Lord. We're getting the word preached to us. And they received it with joy. James here says, in verse 21 again, about receiving the word, with meekness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. That is, receiving the word with meekness, that means to receive it with a teachable spirit. With a modest, submissive spirit. What it means. to submit ourselves humbly to the word that is preached. Is that not what James was referring to in that verse 19? Look at what he said. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Slow to wrath. A number of years ago, we had a family come to the church, and Reverend Stephen Hamilton was preaching that day. Man, his wife and three sons. Mr. and Mrs. Hinton. They had gone round all churches to find the way of salvation, for somebody to tell them how to prepare for heaven, because Mrs. Hinton had been diagnosed with leukemia. She knew her time was short. And she came that day, Mr. Hamilton was here, and he preached on Acts 16, verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And all those in the family that day were in the minister's room, and they all professed faith in Christ. Mrs. Hinton was a lovely woman, true child of God. You knew it in her. It was only a matter of months after that that Mrs. Hinton passed away. She left a tremendous testimony behind. We had a memorial service for her here. And I read out a letter that's been given to me by Mrs. Hinton's neighbor, testifying of what the woman was like after she got saved. Now remember that day the church was packed. And I preached, what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. And I preached the gospel, as they always endeavored to do. And in the course of the message, there's two women sitting halfway down. They got up in a rage. And they got out, and out through the door, and whoever was on the door, one woman says, "We didn't come here to listen to this." They didn't really receive the word with meekness. What happened? They were not slow to speak, and they were not slow to wrath. And how often has that happened? In any meeting, the word is preached and somebody doesn't like it. Just like that lady that day didn't like it, and she made it known, "We didn't come here to listen to this." Instead, they should have received the word with meekness, which is able to save your soul. It was obvious those two ladies didn't have a saved soul. But when it comes to the word, we are to receive it with meekness. Not being angry. I'm not saying it ever happened here. Not saying that. But as it was with that day, those ladies, they were angry. And over the course of 40 years, more in the Christian ministry, they met with people who got angry at the word that was being preached. They were mad. Didn't do them any good. That's what James says. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We ought to receive the word. It'll do us good. That's what it's for. It's to do us good, to receive with meekness the engrafted word and receive it with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And be able to say when the word is preached, praise the Lord, that was a word for me. Thank thee, Lord, for giving that word. We say, if not audibly, we say it in our heart, amen. Praise the Lord for that word. There's the attitude, there's the acceptance, and then there's the attention. The attention. Speaking about being a hearer of the word, the apostle would want us to be able to attend to what is being said. To listen, to give attention to the word. Let me give you an example. 6 o'clock news comes on. And the news headlines. But something, maybe a tragedy has happened. Maybe a car crash in our local area. And the newsreader gives the report and we're sitting glued. What's he going to say? And we can't wait to hear what he says about what has happened. What do we do? We're giving it our full attention. The phone rings. What do we say? Would somebody answer that phone? I want to hear this. I want to hear this news bulletin. Or somebody at the door. Would somebody go to the door? I want to hear. Not right. We give that news broadcast our full attention. But don't want to miss one detail. We don't want to miss one word. Yeah, we know the news has always telling us about events and things that have happened, but you go to the Bible. The Bible tells us of greater things that have happened. There's a great work of creation. There's a great work of conversion. There's a great work of the cross. There's a great work of Calvary. And if we pay full attention to the news broadcast, there are far greater events recorded here in God's word. That would surely mean we ought to give full attention to what is being said as the word is preached. Luke chapter 19, and we're about through. Luke chapter 19, verse 47. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes, the chief of the people, sought to destroy him. And could not find what they might do. Listen to this. For all the people were very attentive to hear him. If you have a Bible margin in your Bible there, you see the meaning of those words, were very attentive to hear him. Those words may be rendered, they hanged on him. Or, as they listened, they were hanging on every word. What a lovely picture. They hung on every word that came out of the Savior's mouth. Didn't want to miss a word. Mentioned there, that preacher, Pastor Willie Mullen, was a Baptist man, but boy, I loved his preaching. And with him, that's the way it was. He said in his Bible class on a Tuesday night, And he had such a tremendous presentation that you just were hanging on every word. What's he going to say next? And I remember, just out of curiosity, analyzing the message that he had brought. And really, you're going to preach it in 15 minutes. But the message would have lasted about an hour. And you were hanging on every word. As the people sat listening to Christ, they were hanging on every word. Attentive. That's how we are to attend to the preaching of the word. We're to give it our full attention. If in the middle of the meeting the door suddenly opens, no, we don't look round to see who it is. We're listening to the word. We don't want to miss a word, because you know, if you're distracted, then for that time that you're distracted, you miss what the preacher has said. You just keep focused on the word. Like those in that day, they were hanging on the Lord's word. Now, I know there's no preacher like Christ. No, there's not. But it's still his word. And whoever the preacher is, it's still his word. And what does James say there? Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. If we're distracted, we'll forget. If we don't give it our attention, we'll forget what's been said. It'll not go into our hearts. And before we're down the road, we'll forget what is said, what has been said. So there must be that interest in the word. Next Sabbath evening, Lord willing, I want to consider the importance of hearing God's word. There's the interest. There must be an interest in hearing God's word, an interest to hear. And we look then at the importance of hearing God's word. Why is it important to hear the word of the Lord? It's important to read, yes, most definitely. And important to study the word, but it's important to hear. We'll look at that, Lord willing, next Lord's Day evening. Let's bow in prayer. O loving Father and eternal God, we bless thee for the word. We thank thee for the word. It's the word. It's not the word of men. Holy men were used, inspired by the Holy Ghost to write. But this is the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. This is God's word. As though the Lord was here in our midst, himself, speaking to us. Lord, may we look upon hearing the word in that way. We'll give it our full attention. We'll be ready to accept what the Lord has to say. Help us, Lord, to do that. And may the word for us ever be our delight to hear, to listen. There's much to listen to in this world. It will not do us any good at all. But hearing God's word and accepting it and receiving the engrafted word of truth with meekness, it'll do us good. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. It's good to be in God's house and to be with God's people and to sing the psalms and the hymns. It's good to be around the word. Praise the Lord. Give us all traveling mercy. Those, Lord, have a few more miles to travel. Keep us all safe, Lord, and our families and their travels as well. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.